This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is sponsored by Brooke Linen.
This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in the show notes to gaze along as we talk our shiznits with our beautiful fiznits. Is that faces? Is that outfits? You won't know until you click the link. Welcome to the Inner Hoe Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist, community-based hoe who lives in New York City, whose pronouns are she and her, and who wears a mask to protect her community.
Yes, my favorite mask wearing hoe. And this is Akua. Yeah, I'm all those things. Mm-hmm. And
all that and more.
All that and more. You know, I didn't think of an intro.
Cool. I don't know. Why are you saying it like it's a surprise? You've never thought. Years you've been here, you maybe thought of an intro twice.
Hey, y'all, it's me. What's up? That's the intro today.
Akua is an amazing human. Her pronouns are she and her.
Yes.
She's a mental health bad bitch. She is very kind, honestly. Oh. She comes from an African household. She brings us that perspective. She brings us the perspective of a single parent who does the motherfucking thing. She brings the perspective of an incredible friend who has checked in on me every single Saturday since like July 8th or something like that. Every fucking Saturday, she's like, you're amazing. Are you good?
Thank you.
And because of you, I am good. The light in me sees the light in you, bitch. Yay. Yeah, okay.
That's it, y'all.
Every episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising works like this. She's an academic bad bitch. She gets in her academic bag. Okay. Every episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-host, who I love, love, love so much, talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. So on this episode, we are talking about the importance of ingesting stories from Black women and also paying and support the Black women who we ingest stories of. Then we're going to talk about one of our favorite, what is it, like 1930s era sex workers?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't. Oh,
no,
1970s era sex workers. I can't wait to get into that. Then we're going to stand some bad bitches that we know and love because we have to. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about pregnancy, money, reproductive rights in San Francisco. Then we're going to hop over to the other side of the United States and talk about LGBTQ seniors in Washington, D.C. Then we're going to talk about a boring movie that I watched and why we need to make movies that are less boring about things of that nature. And last but not least, we're going to go on a trip, a feels trip about a pandemic romance and a lot more, right?
Yes. And if you want to follow along with this roller coaster of a conversation we're going to have today, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Hoe Uprising so that we can see it and the hashtag Podden so other people can see it. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inner Hoe Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching Inner Hoe Uprising Community. That's CUMMUNITY. You can head over to innerhoeuprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, to pay a hoe, or to check out merch.
And if you want to pay us to speak virtually at your school or conference about sex positivity, Black feminism, podcasting, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, or if you'd like us to host a consent, pleasure, or dating virtual workshop for your organization, we would love to. Akua has sex toys that she uses for these fucking workshops, and they are now sitting in her closet. I don't know where you store them, but they're just getting dusty and sad.
No, so the funny thing are, like, my personal ones are in my drawer. The others are in my closet.
There you go. On the
you
top
knew where
shelf.
They were.
Yes, and they're sad, man. I knew where they were because I'd be communicating with these motherfuckers, and they're like, we need a workshop right now. So
we need a workshop.
We need y'all to book us right now. So yes, we would love for you to do that, and you can do so by sending us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. That email is in the show notes. Okay, now we're getting into Ho of the Week. This is the segment where we shout out the homies who have supported Inner Ho Uprising in the past week. Hoes of the Week get special nicknames, and the game, if they choose to participate, is to guess the meaning behind their nicknames. This week we have Chai P, aka T, who became a patron on Patreon. We got Tori J.I., aka Diva, who became a patron on Patreon. And we got Tina L, aka Mango, who became a patron on Patreon. We also have some reviews. So we have one review from Tofu Kitten, who I believe's nickname is Zoom, who said, shame on five stars only. Shame on me for not leaving a review sooner. I'm in love with this podcast and the host. Oh my God, we love you too. They are good to their followers and super transparent on topics. Great information, great conversations, and again, great earthlings. I love to be referred to as an earthling. I felt less lonely during the pandemic, meow. Oh, meow to you too. Thank you very much. And we also have a review from M Chili Dog, whose nickname I believe is Mad Helpful. And it says, so well researched, exclamation point, dedicated. These hosts research and produce the podcast so, capital S-O, well. They are dedicated to creating a better world and are making it happen. We out here doing stuff.
Doing the thing.
We doing shit out here. Oh, thank you so much, guys. Thank you. If you would like to be a Ho of the Week and get a cool nickname, or just like show us how much you love us, here are some things that you can do. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, like the ones that we just read. You can also do that on a app called Stitcher, if you feel so inclined. You can feature us in an article you've written if you're a journo. You can shout us out on social media if you're a social media user. These are some non-monetary ways that you can support us. We love monetary and non-monetary support, and we understand that in these uncertain times, monetary support is not feasible for many folks. We demand that you do not spend your last dollar on us. Put you and yours first. If you can spare some change, you can donate to us on PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho. You can also become a patron on Patreon by going to patreon.com/innerhouprising, or purchase some merchandise. And by some, I mean one t-shirt that is sitting to the right side of me off screen, by going to innerhouprising.com/merchandise. Link to do all those things are in the show notes. A reminder that if you do become a patron on Patreon for $2 a month, you can participate in our Slack chat and our patron-only film nights. For the month of October, we will be watching Spooky Things. It will get progressively more spooky as the month continues, so get in early if spookiness is not your thing. And for $5 a month, you can join our Monday night Zoom hangouts. And at any patron tier, you receive access to our episodes a few days early than everyone else, and you get entry to our workshops, parties, and our pre-episode Zoom hangouts. We had a really good one this time. We watched the dark Fresh Prince of Bel-Air trailer, the dark gritty drama that will be Bel-Air and other things and critiqued media and stuff like that. So it was really good. And we talked about our least favorite episodes too. So those are always a good time if you want to join us. And now we're going to get into our segment that we call Self-Care Tip of the Week. This is a segment where we give you some tips on how to care for yourself, and Akua has a doozy for us. What's going on?
The self-care tip of the week is to ingest. I don't want to say consume, because that makes us feel expenditory.
Like products.
But yeah, like you can, again, take us in it and then expend us without much thought. But what I mean is take in the stories of Black women and then pay them and support them in whatever ways they are asking for, in whatever ways that you can. Mm-hmm. And this tip came from personal experience. I care for myself sometimes.
We love to hear that.
It had been like a really low week for me personally, mental health wise. And one way that I self-cared and stayed, you know, intact was by taking in the stories of Black women, specifically the Humans of New York series post on Tangaree, and by binge watching Girlfriends on Netflix. And then as the world became a bit more damaging to Black women at the end of last week, following the acquittal of Breonna Taylor's murderers and Tory Lane and his blatant misogynoir, I was just like, yeah, let's throw this tip in for other people so that we can have some kind of balance. So we'll start first with Girlfriends. So Girlfriends,
there for anything.
Okay. It's an early 2000s sitcom that follows the lives of four Black women, Joan, Maya, Lynn, and Toni, as they navigate professional careers, love and dating, parenting, and other major life experiences. The show was created by a phenomenal Black woman and a force in Black television, yes. Ms. Mara Brock Akil. And it was recently, I think at the top of September, added to Netflix as part of their Strong Black Lead, whatever enterprise that they're doing. And that sung to the little girl in me, because I was about 8 or 9 when it first aired. And I remember being like stunned by the representation of educated, successful Black women who were friends with other successful Black women and folks. And remembering that, you know, I was like esteemed. I was hoping that I have that, you know, when I got to that age, which seemed like a big age back then.
It really did.
And now I'm at that age and I do. So, yes, I do have these successful Black folks in my life. But I remember, you know, I remember that feeling and I was like, I have to watch this. Like, I have to see if what I thought of it as little 8-year-old Kua still sat. So I've been binge watching it. It still sits. It still fits to this day. I'm still getting my life through it. So, yeah, that's what I've been binging. Ms. Mara Brock Akil, I wanted to get a bit into her as the Black woman that brought this, the Black woman that brought this into my life. Mm-hmm. So I did a little digging behind her and didn't realize that she has had her hand in other Black favorites. Mm-hmm. I'm going to name them off. So like South Central, Moesha, The Jamie Foxx Show, love them all. Mm-hmm. I never saw South Central. It was one season, but yeah, it was Black as fuck. So go ahead, Mara. And then, you know, she created and produced things other than Girlfriends, like The Game and Being Mary Jane, just continuous Black TV. Yes. Like,
we love that.
We love it. So in September, at the top of the month, she also signed a multi-year overall deal with Netflix to create new content.
We got new shit coming. Okay.
We do. Just the force on Black TV. So we're going to support her by streaming whatever the fuck she brings us, whatever Black ass content that she's giving us, you know, in the next couple of years. I don't know how else to support Mara, but girl, if you listen and let me know, and I will cash apps out, whatever you need, sis, because you have done Black things on TV for me.
For a minute.
Like my whole life. We talking decades. Come on now. And then, for Miss Stephanie, who has brought me so much joy with her life story. So Humans of New York is a photo blog and most recently a book of street portraits and interviews that are collected on the streets of New York City. It was started in November of 2010 by a photographer, a white man named Brandon Stanton. Humans of New York, I've liked it in general because, you know, it kind of mirrors what I do in therapy, collecting stories and like getting into people's lives and seeing the nuances. And I like taking a little peek in what people doing and what's going on for them. So that's always been fun. In November of 2019, last year, Brandon featured a post of then 76-year-old Stephanie, aka Tangaree. And that post went viral. And Miss Tangaree is a Black elder and a former sex worker who was not afraid to spill tea and tell us of her crazy hijinks in the 70s. In that one post, we were all like, where is the movie? Where is the book?
She's like the elder version of Zola.
Yes, it was amazing. So apparently Brandon and Stephanie had been keeping in contact after that post. And she has had little community at her current age. She recently suffered a fall, which has derailed her health. And given that she had lived most of her life outside of what we call like mainstream as a sex worker and in other businesses, she is like without the rights and care that she should have as an elder, without health insurance, without Social Security benefits and whatnot. Since her fall and needing all around the clock care, Brandon has been helping with her medical bills. But of course, we know the intersections of capitalism and the medical field is expensive. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just astounding. So he has reached out to create community and to find ways to continue to support her. There were plans to turn her life anecdotes into a podcast because everyone loved it and we needed more. But given the situation, Stephanie agreed to have Brandon share her stories through Honey as a fundraising effort for her medical bills and her life expenses. And it's currently a 32 post feature on the Honey platform. So that, I think that's Instagram and Twitter, maybe Facebook, where Stephanie shares her life stories full of hardships, but also spills some piping hot tea. When I say that tea hot, Okay. She out here talking about celebrities. She's out here talking about a president. She's out here talking about mobsters. And I had to, like, it is so good that I had to turn on my notifications because I needed to be notified
Stephanie
when it was coming. I think we're up to like post 20 last that I read. And I'd so have to go 12 check.
More left.
There's 12 more left. And there's still so much. Like after that 32, I know there's just so much. And the crazy thing about it is Miss Stephanie got the receipts for what she's saying.
Like what though?
If she is talking about, okay, so like one thing is that she had a dancer who like, not a dancer, a fan, a client who would like follow her around to like all the different clubs that she danced to. And she said that he would like always give her these chocolate boxes with like silver dollars taped or glued to them. And then there was just like photos of her silver, of her chocolate box with the silver dollars. Like she kept it. Like there are photos of her lover, like. Certain, she isn't out here, she's spilling tea, but she ain't naming names because she ain't got the money for lawyers. But you know, so if she know that you gonna sue her or come after her, she like cut that
so
out.
She's like, there's Chase a certain man. Mobster whose name rhymes with like Vinny Minnie or some shit like that.
Yes. So she's like, she's talking about a specific time period. Say she's talking about the 70s. She's like the president. And there's only about two presidents in that time period. So you can figure it out. Okay.
I like that kind of mess.
She is saying, but she ain't, you know, she ain't saying. And it is just so, I have always loved the stories of our elders. Like this society, especially in the U.S., discards our elders in a way that is just horrible because they hold so much knowledge. And just being able, I would have never met, Tangeray in any of this. Like to hear of this, how many stories of Black elder sex workers do you hear?
Man.
So every time that post, I read the post and I donate, and I've donated 20 times and she gonna keep getting more of my money
up until 32.
All 32 times and then some. Her the GoFundMe, which is called the Tangeray Trust, has reached it surpassed its goal of $1 million. But when you break down how much it cost to care for her, it's enough money for like 5 years and we want her to live more than 5 years comfortably. And we want, you know, we want to make sure she's set for the rest of her days. So please go donate. You know, we can show that Black women's lives matter by dismantling the rapid consumption of their trauma for our entertainment without giving anything back. And we can do that by paying for their stories and supporting them while they're still here. So Sam's going to put the link in the show notes. Go donate. Go on the Honey page and read her stories. I'm telling you, you will get your life. Like, you will get your life reading these stories. And then donate to make sure that Miss Tangeray, Miss Stephanie is good.
I love it. I love it. I can't wait to read them. And Miss Tangeray and Brandon Stanton and whoever is all coming together to create this podcast. Just want to introduce myself. My name is Sam. I am a podcast producer. I'm quite good at it. The subject matter is very much up my alley. If you would like to pay me.
Pay this Black woman to, here to
create this for you. Let's talk, baby.
Now, I think they have scrapped the idea of the podcast.
Bring
I don't
it
know.
Back.
Yeah, bring it back. Years, and
just
then
a couple of years from now, when COVID is all, when she's straight and set and good and healthy, and COVID is done and clip and out of here, you know me. Okay.
Exactly.
You know where to find me on the internet.
Because this Black woman producer will do it for you, okay? Yeah.
So me and Akua were talking about this yesterday, and I was like, oh, here's some other stories of Black women that you can ingest. So I was just going through the things that are floating around in my brain that I've watched lately or heard about lately, and I'm going to give you a little list of things that you can read or watch or listen to. So there is the story of Mojeska Monteith Simkins and the Mojeska Simkins house. Have you ever heard of that, Akua?
No.
I was like, oh, let's think of all of these stories about parts and places of life that we don't typically equate when we think of Black women, because we're always fucking consuming our trauma all the goddamn time, right? So Mojeska Monteith Simkins was a Black professional in like the 1930s to 1960s America, and she had a home in South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, and she used part of the home just to like live in and part of the home as her business, and then she used the other part of the home as like an Airbnb type situation to allow for civil rights activists passing through Columbia, South Carolina to just live. She was just putting up civil rights activists. It's fucking cool. That is fucking
this
cool.
Is what I
So there's a documentary, not the film with Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali, but just a documentary called Green Book. And it was about the actual Green Book book that was created for African-American travelers to know where it was comfortable, and by comfortable I mean not racist or violent, to stay in the country. And it went over like a whole bunch of Black businesses that were in the book at the time, and there's this whole section where it talks about businesses that were owned by Black women. And when I was watching it, I was like, yes, I love that. So that came to my mind when you mentioned this. I watched a film called Mangrove, which is actually a part of a series called Small Axe, which is produced by Steve McQueen. He's the same guy who directed 12 Years a Slave. That's a series that is going to air on BBC as well as Amazon Prime, all about Black Caribbean community from the 1960s to 1980s in London. And in Mangrove, we see the story of Althea Jones LeConte. She's not the main character, but she's one of the main supporting characters. She's played by Letitia Wright in the film. And she is a Trinidadian physician and research scientist, and also known for her role as the leader of the British Black Panther movement of the 60s and 70s. Just stories about Black women that she didn't know about. And she was a fucking badass in that movie, so I would definitely say check that out if you can. There's the book Wayward Lives and Beautiful Experiments, Intimate Histories of Riotous Black Girls, Troublesome Women, and Queer Radicals by Sadia Hartman, who also happens to be a Black woman. And it's an exploration into the lives of young Black women in the early 20th century who were kind of like moving from the Reconstructionist South to Detroit and Philadelphia. I haven't finished that book, but it's a really good book, and it's not so much a story about one particular Black woman or Black girl, but like a collective history of what it was just like to live as a Black woman at that time, as a young Black woman at that time. There's the documentary that our listeners suggested to us a couple of weeks back on our Zoom hangout called Check It, which is a doc all about the queer Check It gang in DC, formed by gay and trans folks who formed a gang to fight back against homo antagonistic and trans antagonistic attacks, which I just love. Beat some motherfuckers the fuck up.
Beat they ass.
So I tried to do all non-fictional women, but then you said girlfriends, and then my mind was just like, oh, here's two more things. So there's a series called King Esther on YouTube that is all about a Black trans woman who is just like living her goddamn life in New Orleans pre-Katrina. And it's a good story. And there is also Queen Sono, which is a fictional story about this badass spy in South Africa who just like is just kick. I just love that series. She's just kicking ass, and like she's like flawed and stuff like that, and she doesn't know how to communicate with men, but she still wants to be loved, and she's dealing with the trauma of her past and all those kinds of things, and she just looks really cool kicking ass. So
yeah,
also check out Queen Sono. Yeah, so I will link to all of those things in the show notes. And if you all are ingesting the stories of Black women and paying and supporting them, let us know what you're checking out. whatever medium it may be. Now let's get into our segment that we call Bae of the Week. This is a segment where we shout out people who we find both cool and attractive and inspiring and amazing. And we got a list of a couple of motherfuckers that we got to shout out this week because they're badasses and we love them. So first and foremost, we're going to start off with Diamond Stiles, host of the Marsha's Plate podcast, executive director of Black Trans Women Inc., and our friend. Like, I know her.
Also
known as the 34th fucking most influential African American in 2020 as rated by TheRoot.com. Wow, amazing. Above, yes. Beyonce. Wow, we stand.
Above, oh my God, Beyonce. Because she does
she
it.
She really fucking does. Then we're going to shout out Dr. Janina Jeff, host and EP of the In Those Genes podcast, geneticist, winner of American Society of Human Genetics, aka ASHG Advocacy Award, my friend, and someone who I get to work creatively with. Isn't that amazing? And also the 53rd most influential African American in 2020 as rated by TheRoot.com. Wow.
All right.
Amazing. How do we get to know so many great people?
And I don't know where I read about it, but or maybe it was TheRoot.com, that Janina was like the first Black woman to graduate from her like PhD program in genetics at her university. Diamond was out here suing the goddamn government in high school.
Yeah.
Just
amazing,
influential. Just they've been doing it.
We also have to shout out a Stephanie and Lena of the Bag Ladies podcast, who have been featured in Spotify's Latinx Heritage Month campaign as a partner podcast, who are on a motherfucking billboard in Los Angeles.
A whole billboard. And possibly one in New York,
I'm waiting
too.
On it. I might have to take a little field trip. Leave my house.
I'm coming with you.
I am just so proud of the community that we are a part of.
I am just so not just proud, honored
is
to sit amongst
greatness.
These women. Yeah. Just greatness. Yes.
And speaking of friends and greatness, Akua, you have something to remind us of for this week.
Definitely. I would be remiss to not include other great baddies with Jay and Queen over at Tea with Queen and Jay podcast. Yes, because they baddies.
Shout out to Queer Walk too. Shout out to the whole BBB.
No, let's not talk about Miss Nikita and Dr. Money. Okay, the greatness never
it
ends.
Never fucking stops.
With our group of folks. Hoo chow. Jay and Queen had me on for a spoiler full review of I May Destroy You. So they naturally are intentional community ass bitches. And they wanted to make sure that there were care for themselves and there was care for the audience and talking about this show, which is, you know, at its foundation, very triggering in its exploration of rape and sexual assault. So they asked me, as a mental health professional and a person who talks about sex frequently, to come in the intersections, to come in and have that conversation, and just to make sure that everyone was cared for. It was fun. It was nuanced. I love my time with them. And that should be coming out. I think they drop on Tuesdays or Wednesdays.
Yeah, so it'll be out by the time you're listening to this. And the link to that will be in the description for this episode. I will listen when I watch that show. And we don't know when that is yet, but it will happen one day. But I'm very glad that you did that, and I'm excited to hear it one day.
I am very glad to brag on our friends. I just love it. It's just all better. Claps, yes.
Yay. Wow. So happy.
They better work.
That's a fact, son. That is a motherfucking fact. You better give my motherfuckers flowers. You better give my motherfuckers roses. You better give my motherfuckers their things, okay?
Now.
Exactly. Right the fuck now. Every morning I get up, I look at my goal list. So I have a goal list on my phone. And I look at that instead of looking at Twitter so I can actually motivate myself to get out of bed. Because if I look at Twitter, I want to go back in the bed. I take my one nootropic pill. Shout out to Rodeca for putting me on some nootropics. And then I actually make my cozy ass bed. When you make your bed in the morning, it starts a chain of daily successes, culminating at the end of the day when you get to get back into the bed that you already made, which is the ultimate success, in my opinion. One of the best and most important parts of getting back in that bed are the sheets that go with the bed or that go on the bed. When it comes to sheets for ideal comfort and coziness, you should go with Brooklinen, home of the internet's favorite sheets. Brooklinen fits all of my bed sheet needs. They look nice. I have a set of graphite and steel Oxford stripe sheets, pillowcases, and a duvet cover. They feel nice and they aid me in a great night's sleep. So on a scale of a motherfucker with one flat pillow on his bed to a hotel slumber, Brooklinen provides a sleep experience on the hotel slumber side of the spectrum. You do not need to be on the motherfucker with one flat pillow on his bed side of the spectrum. You're too old for, I don't know how old you are, but you're officially too old for that. You're officially too old for that. How do you feel about your Brooklinen sheets, Akua?
No, I definitely have to agree with you. And I also feel like Brooklinen also agrees and is, you know, is affirming this for you, because when they send you two pillow covers and then two extra pillow covers.
They said you need four pillows up on that bed. You need at least four pillows up on that bed. And it's true.
And if you didn't know, you know it now. go get three more pillows and fluff them bitches up.
And then wash them periodically. Like, what are you doing?
And then what? Oh, they are affirming greatness for you, even if you do not know it for yourself. Yeah. But also, I've talked about, you know, sleep hygiene countless of times on this show. Mm-hmm. And good sheets are an essential part of good sleep hygiene practices and getting a restful night's sleep. So I've had, along with my low week, several insomnia plague nights, and I thought, you know what, let's get into that sleep hygiene talk. Practice what you preach, sis. Mm-hmm. So I changed my sheets to get control of that. I put on my Brooklinen sheets, and when I say they cradled me, they sang me a lullaby and they hushed me to sleep in like 15 minutes. Wow. I was in the bosom of those sheets as I just knocked out. I haven't rested.
That's exactly
so
what it feels like, though. It's like you are being nurtured for.
Think about your favorite person with breasts and being nuzzled between them and feeling the softness of the cloth as you sucked your thumb to sleep and they held you. That is what the sheets do for you. It's what it is. I'm sorry.
Brooklinen, your favorite person with breasts. New tagline. Well, thank you for that very descriptive review, Kuma. I agree with it. To tell you a little bit more about the company, your favorite person with breasts, Brooklinen was the first direct-to-consumer bedding company. They work directly with manufacturers and directly with customers. There are no middlemen or middle people, and they provide a great product with great service. All luxury products without the luxury markup, so you can save a little extra change. They offer a variety of sheets, color patterns, and materials for all of your lounging needs, including classic percale, which is cool and crisp with a timeless matte finish, luxe sateen, buttery smooth cotton sheets, linen, airy and effortlessly chic, made with highest quality flax in the world, and heathered cashmere, made for sweater weather, that's now, keeping you comfy and cozy. Brooklinen sheets are the perfect place to start making your mornings great. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their bedding comes with a lifetime warranty. You can get 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use promo code IHU only at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Everything you need to live your most comfortable life. And that is promo code I as in inner, H as in ho, and U as in uprising. All right, let's get into the actual show. Why not? I shine bright in all my different colors, all my different colors, colors. We shine bright in all our different colors, all our different colors.
Brooklyn spitter, bad girl killer, known as the baddest, ass ain't the fattest, more than my assets, and I still cause a lot of havoc, but I be on peace and positive energy, still living in a world where folks trying to kill me. Here I be, black women and queer, created all these rules that I couldn't adhere to, resilient, but don't ever fuck with my rights. The more I rise, the more they're trying to bring me down, 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 down.
With a segment that we like to call Fuck That, it is our current events segment, and today we're starting it off with pregnancy stipends in San Fran.
Yes. So San Francisco's mayor, Miss London Breed, has created and launched a new pilot program called the Abundant Birth Project, which sets out to give $1,000 monthly stipend to 150 Black and Pacific Islander lower income women. The language around this talks about women as those that reproduce and give birth, but we know that that is not all of the case. So when I use that term, it is how the program is described. I'm not sure
if they are inclusive of people.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're inclusive. Okay. But I feel like though the term is not there, the language is not there, they are inclusive of all those who reproduce and give birth, regardless of gender, in this program.
I would hope so. But I don't know.
Yeah. I would hope so. So yeah, this program is an act of economic and reproductive health intervention in effort to curb the high rates of death related to pregnancy and childhood, specifically in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Expected parents can apply at any time during their pregnancy and will receive the funds for the duration of their pregnancy and for at least 6 months after the birth of their child and or children. Mayor Breed was working in collaboration with Expecting Justice. And Expecting Justice, the Black-led, they describe themselves in these words, the Black-led Birth Justice Collective Impact Initiative focused on improving birth outcomes for BIPOC communities, led by Dr. Zaya Malawa at San Francisco's Department of Public Health and supported by the Hellman Foundation and the University of California, San Francisco, California Preterm Birth Initiative.
I just want to put a quick explanatory comma because I saw Twitter being like, I just found out what BIPOC was. So in case you still don't know what BIPOC was,
oh, Lord.
It is Black Indigenous People of Color. Yes. Because some people think it's like bisexual people of color.
Yes.
So let's just clear that up once and for all.
Oh, yes. So Black and Indigenous People of Color. So they will be using this pilot program to study the resulting health impacts that may come out of it, of providing this intervention, which will make it the first study of its kind in the whole United States, in the history of the United States.
Not surprised,
which says
happy
a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So prematurity is a leading cause of infant mortality in the U.S. and has been linked to lifelong conditions, including behavioral development issues, learning difficulties, and chronic diseases in the children that are born premature. Between 2012 and 2006, Black infants were the demographic with the highest percentage of to be born prematurely, which is at 13.8%, which is almost twice as likely as white infants, who were at 7.3%. Pacific Islander infants were then the second highest preterm births, which stood at 10.4%. Black families account for half of the maternal deaths and over 15% of infant deaths, despite only representing 4% of all births. The same trend follows for Pacific Islander families, and that is why they are the subjects of this program in San Francisco. So yeah, that is what's happening in San Fran. They are here putting their money where the problem is and hoping to see, you know, results.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to hear it.
I'm glad to hear it too. I'm curious to see what exactly they're tracking. So you can kind of get a better feel on what outcomes or what is needed to lead to specific outcomes. And I'm like really specifically thinking of the story that we did a couple of months ago where it was like climate change, an increase in global heat is leading to what is it, children being born with negative health outcomes? Is that what you would refer to it as? And it being something as simple as like low-income Black moms not having fucking AC in like their apartment or something like that. So like, I wonder if they're tracking like, does everybody just buy an AC and like things are a little bit better, or like food, like nutritious food and things like that? Access to, I don't know, mental health care.
Briefly, the money that the parents will receive, they are allowed discretion to use other as how they fit for whatever their economic means are. And I think the idea or the hypothesis is that if they have more funds, they can attend to these other economic driven barriers that affect their pregnancy, whether it is being able to afford an Uber to get to your doctor, or have extra money for your prenatal pills while you're pregnant, or get the fucking AC so you don't have a heat stroke while you're pregnant. And that's why they, of course, you shouldn't be telling people what to do with their money once you give it to them, but that's why they're allowing them to spend that money however it however it fits for their individual needs.
Even if it's just a matter of like, oh, in my full paycheck, I can make it stretch, but then I have to wait for the next paycheck, and like having that extra income not have you anxious about whether or not the money's going to come next month or something like that.
Because that also affects your health and the health of children.
Exactly. So that's really cool. I'm excited to see the outcome of that study. And shout out to the Abundant Birth Project and Expecting Justice. Okay, now we're going to talk about another hyper-local story about something that's going on in D.C. And I think it's just, you don't really think about the nuts and bolts of how things work. You know, you kind of just say, like, niggas need things. And this was a story about, like, that I never thought about, like, because the very end of it, you'll see, but the very end of it was like, oh yeah, I never thought about that. And that is something that is necessary when it comes to bureaucracy. So this story is about the fact that DC lacks funds to implement LGBTQ seniors bill. So I got this story from a local news source called The Washington Blade, and reporter Lou Chabarro Jr. wrote this story. And I want to take one quick second to actually shout out local publications and to remind you to support your local publication. Quick tangent, but a lot of people see something from a local publication and retweet it and say, why isn't anybody talking about this? And it's like an underpaid reporter from your local publication did talk about it, and they spent their time writing this story, and now you are using this story to amplify it. So when you do something like that, subscribe to the fucking publication. Otherwise, they're going to keep closing, and then you're going to get annoyed with the fact that there's like four mainstream national news networks that aren't covering very local things that are going on in your community that you care about. So everything is very like small and then big. So even when it comes to voting, you have to vote small and you have to also vote big. That's why every election cycle is important, guys. So yeah, support your local publication. But let's talk about the seniors bill in question. So this bill does two things. It calls for amending the city's Human Rights Act of 1977 to establish an LGBTQ and HIV long-term care bill of rights to provide rights and legal protections for LGBTQ residents and residents with HIV in long-term care. Secondly, it calls for amending the District of Columbia Act on Aging to require the mayor interpret the term greatest social need, quote unquote, under the Federal Older Americans Act of 1965 to include LGBTQ seniors and seniors with HIV for the purpose of allocated federal funds to the district. So the status right now in terms of people voting on it is good. The DC Council unanimously voted to pass the bill, and Mayor Muriel Bowser is expected to sign the bill. However, the funds are not there. So the enforcement of the bill requires the city to pay at least one new full-time employee at the DC Office of Human Rights to enforce the bill's non-discrimination provisions for LGBTQ seniors, to oversee the bill's requirement that long-term care facilities provide LGBTQ-related training for staff members that interact with LGBTQ residents of the facilities. So literally just one person telling everybody what to do when it comes to treating LGBTQ seniors in these long-term care facilities. And in terms of the money of that one person, they just need that one person's salary, which is $109,000, to implement in the fiscal year 2021 and $434,000 over the four-year period. And according to DC Chief Financial Officer Jeffrey S. DeWitt, they don't got that. They don't got that $100,000.
They don't got it.
They don't got that $100,000, or rather that $100,000 is spread across different things. And they, in order to reframe the budget, that takes time, according to Lindsay Walton, a spokesperson for DC Council Chair Phil Mendelson. She says that the funding can only be appropriated through the city's annual budget process, which will take place next spring or by mayoral reprogramming. So that's when the advocates come in. And this piece wraps up with a gay rights advocate named Mike Silverstein in San Francisco saying he would look into whether or not advocates should call on the mayor's office to consider transferring funds for the implementation of LGBTQ seniors bill from other city programs. So basically people doing what people have to do in a democracy and being like, no, we want these funds allocated. And instead of waiting till the next fiscal year and the making of the budget next spring, it would be like a mayoral action to be like, oh no, put this over here, put this over here. Let's get this in, let's get this in place now so that this bill can be official, because without the money behind it, it can't technically be official, even though everybody has voted on it. So that's like really boring, right? Like it's not cool or fun or zippy or like what you think of when you think of like what gay rights looks like and what LGBTQ rights looks like and queer rights looks like. But in the society that we're in, we live in a society, hashtag, that is, these are the kinds of things that need to happen. Like you need people like Mike Silverstein to be like, okay, I guess my next step is calling the mayor and having this conversation with her about how we allocate funds.
And making it a priority to allocate the funds instead of waiting until next spring.
Exactly.
I think something that also stuck out to me is that this is now going to be one person's job.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sounds simple when we talk about it, but when you get in the nitties and the gritties, that's going to be one hell of a job
that should be
for
like
one person.
A small department, honestly. That sounds like more of a small department job. So even still, what they have created and the money they've allocated for it seems like they're underfunding it to me.
Funded.
Which might even be a case of, oh, let's do bare minimum. And if it doesn't work, then we put a little more minimum.
More.
Which is like how, it's kind of just how capitalism works, you know? Like, let's save our cost and do as little as we can to see our outcome. So,
look at capital.
That is also unfortunate.
Ruined thing.
Yeah, that is what it does. That is what it does. But if you're in DC and have any more insight into this, or if you have any more insight into what's going on in San Francisco, we would love to hear that as we talk about more hyper-local stories. I never want to be ignorant. Like, I don't want somebody to be like, actually, that could be one person's job. And then we're just over here with our dicks in our hands like, oh, damn. You did not know that. Speaking of seniors and elders and stories, going back to Akua's self-care tip of the week, this was a self-care tip that I had a couple of weeks ago because it's something that I was doing in my life, but now I'm seeing the connection. At the beginning of the pandemic, I signed up to be a friendly visitor for seniors in my community, and we are not visiting in person because that is a dangerous thing to do during a pandemic. But I have been visiting with an elder in my community who's such a badass bitch. I hope she never listens to this because I don't want her to hear me say bitch. But she's so fucking cool. And she's a Black woman. And, you know, when you sign up for these kinds of programs, like, you're asked by whoever's facilitating it what your interests are, and the seniors ask what their interests are. And you can like be straight with them and be like, yo, I'm a Black woman, I'm looking for a senior Black woman to connect with. Or, I'm a Black queer person, I'm looking for a senior black queer person to connect with, because I want to hear stories about what it was like when they were my age and things like that. So if that's something that you have access to in your community and you want to give back, maybe not monetarily, but like folks who are elders sign up for these programs because they are oftentimes living in isolation and just like want somebody to talk to and connect with, that is your way of giving back to your community and then also like getting something in return, because you hear these stories of these badass people. She's been playing guitar for 70 years.
Oh, wow.
Like, she was like, yeah, you can start when you're 20. I started when I was 20. Now I'm 9.
Where you are now.
Cool.
It just looks...
It's just really cool. It's just very cool.
It is.
Oh, man. Ooh. I love badasses. Well, anyway, speaking of LGBTQ people being let down by the system, we're about to get into a story of Spain's first same-sex married couple and the schemes they had to employ to be that first same-sex couple. Or just like how I kind of fell asleep watching this movie. Maybe we'll do more of that. But first, is the conversation in this episode so far resonating with you? Is it helping you learn some new shit, helping you unlearn some old shit, or just allowing you to have a good-ass time? Give the door a pause. Let you respond. Oh, and you say that it is allowing you to do all of these things. Well, we'd love to hear that. We would also love for you to support the continuation of conversations like these. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, you can take a moment to subscribe to us or drop 5 stars and a rating on the homies. Take out your phone. Do all that right now. We'll give you a moment. Open up. Apple Podcasts. Stitcher. Inner Hole Uprising. You're typing it in. You're scrolling down to the rating part. You're clicking 5 stars. You're typing in, I love these hoes. This is my favorite podcast, et cetera, et cetera. And you're clicking submit. Oh, yes. Don't forget the exclamation point. And you're clicking submit. And there you go. You have repaid us for all of our labor. And if you want to pay us a little bit more and you got a little extra change, you can drop us some cash in the PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho. Or you can come join our Patreon community and access our chat or virtual events for as low as $2 a month by going to patreon.com/innerhouprising. Or you can just hit up your friend and say, yo, listen to this podcast. You can text them. You could WhatsApp them. You could Facebook message them. You could Instagram DM them. You could Twitter DM them. You can call them on the phone. You can call them on FaceTime. You can call them on Zoom. Just let them know that you love this podcast. We thank and love you all for your continued support. Okay, now we're going to get into the shortest installment of Sam Presents Ass Media. That is a segment and a play on the term mass media where I talk about book, TV, podcast, film reviews that relate to sex, love, dating, and or gender. They are spoiler-free reviews. So I'm going to stop being stubborn and actually just start watching what you all recommend to me because my bullshit has taken me down a fucking path. I just like had a really long list of things that I was like, I'm gonna watch this for Ass Media. And sometimes I chip away at those and I'm like, I didn't really need to do that for Ass Media. This is not really the audience for that. So last night I watched Elisa y Marcela, which is a historical narrative based on a true story with, you know, liberties taken about a Spanish couple comprised of two women, Elisa y Marcela or Ann Marcela, who fell in love in like 1901 Spain. I think they fell in love in 1898 and gay marriage was not legal in Spain until 2005. So that was a long ass time.
Can you imagine?
A long ass time before that. And in order to actually get married, one of them assumed the identity of a man. And hijinks ensue. Not hijinks. It's just like a story happened. So you can kind of like, it kind of could have been like a 20-minute podcast episode because there wasn't that much meat to it. Like I see the film in a few parts. It was like Elisa y Marcel. I keep saying E. Everybody's like, this gringo ass bitch. Eliza and Marcella fall in love and they meet, and that's a really long stretch of time, and it's all like, ooh, forbidden love, do 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 do. And then there's a really long stretch of time where they're like just having sex a lot. It was a lot of like sex scenes and I was like, oh, this is like pleasant, but it was just like a long stretch of sex scenes. And then it was like, okay, oppression ensues. And then it was like end. But that was all two hours. And I don't quite think that that needed to be two hours. So I'm not going to spend much time even talking about it. Some highlights of it, I think, are, I think my favorite part of it was the cinematography. It's really, really pretty. It's in black and white. And it's one of those kinds of films where every still looks like it could be a painting in and of itself. One of my favorite moments was when they're away from each other, you know, Unrequited Love or whatever, there's them speaking to each other where they're reading out the letters that they've written to each other. And it's like intercut with the letters and music and images of them just staring at the screen. And I was like, man, even though it's a colonizer's language, Spanish is a beautiful ass language. I'm so glad that I did not watch the English dub of this, because that would have been clunky as fuck.
Ooh.
But yeah, the sex scenes were very sensual. They were not ridiculous. The story, something happened at the end that I didn't like, but this is a spoiler-free review. If you want to talk to me about it and you've actually watched this film, then we can DM. But I was just like, I don't love that. I don't love that in life. But yeah, aside from that, I think my main takeaway is I would love to see that. Like, I'm glad that is a LGBTQ story. And whether it's like kind of mediocre or not, I dig for things to be made. But I would have just loved to have seen that with like black women. And not like white people, even though they're like quote unquote spicy white, like Spanish and fucking Portuguese folks. I just would have loved to see that with black people. And then also, just because something is based on a true story, I don't think that that makes it inherently better or more indicative of the historical telling of the time that it's in. And I can see something similar that might not have, oh, this is like factual evidence of this. Like, we have a written telling of this happening in whatever, like predominantly black country or with black women or something like that. But I think that you can pull actual things that happened in those spaces and times and tell a similar story that might be a little bit more compelling for me to watch. But very pretty film if you have 2 hours to spare and just want like some little lusty stuff on in the background. Yeah, sure. Elisa E. Marcel. Oh yeah, and I don't know if I said, but it's directed by a Spanish woman by the name of Isabel Coixet.
Okay.
So that is my 5-minute review. And next week I'll just watch something that you guys told me to watch. Because I'm actually out here trying to fucking reinvent the goddamn wheel, and I'm like, oh wow, I'm falling asleep during this film. Okay. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She loved a party on the weekend. She loved a party on the weekend. Now we're going to get into a segment that we like to call Fuck You. It is where we read your listener letters. If you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, you can send your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Please include your pronouns. And because we are in the future, you can leave us a voicemail. We will play it and respond to it on the show. And you can drop us a line at 404-491-9158. That's 404-491-9158, and that will be in the show notes. And now we have a plot twist pandemic women loving women classist love story. This was actually sent to us as a voicemail, and the person was like, please don't play this voicemail because of their voice, but I'm also not sure if that was the reason why. But we're not gonna play it. We will honor your wishes. But we are instead going to wrap up the story or what we got from it, and then we're going to respond to it. So who has some bullet points?
Okay. So I will read the synopsis of what they had sent to us or shared in that the voicemail. Cool. And they say, or she says, hey hoes, you can call me Dinah, pronouns she and her. So I just wanted to share a little pandemic life story. So I started talking to someone who I met on Tinder. Funny enough, she and I had met when me and my ex were dating, but we turned out to, you know, just start talking first as friends. We were kind of like friendly pen pals kind of thing during the height of the quarantine of New York City. So it was good having someone who I can talk to. We grew into something a little more, and recently we actually started meeting up in person, and she's been over my house. We've grown to have we've grown to have like a really, really beautiful connection. She's a Pisces and I am a Cancer. So, you know, we do watercolors and cry together and other beautiful shit like that. We've kind of confessed our love to each other. You know, basic woman love and woman shit. That always takes me. So for more background, I'm working in healthcare administration and I'm going back for a master's degree. I'm 24 and she's 23. She's still in school working on her career and things like that. So I guess my question is, I just want to know, like, is it classes of me? I'm just seeking advisement on this because I really love her and care about her and I can see a future with us together. But the practical side of my mind is coming in and I'm just a little unsure of where to take it next just because I don't know. Also, oh God, I didn't mention this part. She kind of still lives with her ex. And that is the end of voicemail.
Ah, oh, man, I love that. Ooh, there's a
lot going on. That last line was like, sis, what?
We met when I was with my ex and she still lives with her ex. And
that was the funny thing. When we first heard it, I didn't hear that line of I met her when I was with my ex. So in transcribing this and you know, making it a bit more succinct, I was like, oh, so this is how this ties back to, all right, I see this. Okay. That's funny. So yeah, this was a roller coaster of a story that I truly enjoyed. And of course, Dinah, I know that it can be hard kind of speaking freely straight off the dome. So don't worry. We got the gist of it, or what we think is the gist of it.
Also, if you do want to write a voicemail, feel free to hybrid how you communicate. Like even with this podcast, we have talking points. Like sometimes it's off the dome, but you can like bullet some stuff down that you want to get out so you have your thoughts like in order. That's fine.
And you can always send us an email.
Yeah.
So yeah, Dinah, if we didn't get this right, feel free to send us an email and we'll go at it again and give you the advice that you need. Another hack at it. But for me, what it sounds is like you're having some doubts and anxiety about the relationship for two reasons. One, because of your different current and anticipated occupational or economic standing. And that's leading you to believe that there's a classist prejudice informing these doubts of yours. Mm. And two, it sounds like you don't know, you're not sure where she is with her ex, if they're like done, or, you know, if there's some hanky panky going on.
Hanks panks. That's what I've
taken from it. And what I have to say in response to those two points is that, you know, you didn't share what she's studying in school or if, you know, graduate work will make sense for her depending on what she's studying. But of course, academia and degrees do not make someone more valuable and does not mean she cannot or at least try to create some financial stability for herself in the long run. She doesn't need a graduate degree to be able to have a strong economic foundation. And to be quite honest, you could have that master's degree and not have a strong economic foundation because capitalism don't give a fuck about any of that. Really, like when thinking of what am I going to tell Dinah, it really came back to communication is key. If you're thinking of a future for you two, it requires that the two of you talk about that future and what you both want in it, emotionally, socially, physically, financially, whatever it is. And in that, I'm going to recommend that you ask her about that, about her ex, get some more clarity about what's going on. You know, are they living together because it's a lease situation? They're both on the lease. You know, your partner may not be able to afford independent housing on their own because that's very understandable in New York City. And that might be why she's still there. And if that's the case, let's say the latter is the case, I don't recommend you guys moving in together because I know you lesbians love to just hop on in there. No. But, you know, if that is the situation, which is like a lease thing or she can't afford to live on her own in New York, then talk about what that kind of housing situation means for your relationship. Is that a deal breaker? Is that what y'all gonna be doing? And that leads to talks about trust, you know, do you trust her or not? But nonetheless, all of this needs to be communicated with. If you see a future with her and you're having doubts, you got to talk about it so that she knows what kind of future you're looking at. You know what kind of future you're looking at. It's on the same page. And then we can continue to talk about it, have dialogues about it as you guys move towards it. That's all I got.
Yeah, I fully agree. I don't have anything else to add. I don't have anything else to add.
So, Dinah, if that was helpful, if that was you, what you was looking for, great. Write us in, let us know. If not, also write us in and tell us what you was looking for, and we'll try it again.
Yeah. And if you feel that any more context will help us, then we would appreciate that also. Okay, we're going to wrap up with a comment that was posted by CLT on...
Actually, can we go back? I have one more
thing to say.
Let's backtrack this a bit. Also, there might be a bit of insecurity seeing that where you started about her ex and that where you started this relationship with her might be coming back around in full circle. And that might just have to, you know, that might be a look at ourselves of how am I projecting this onto what her current situation is. But again, back to the communication. Talk to her about it.
If we want to go deeper into ourselves, maybe we should also question why these tie over relationships are kind of occurring in, on both sides.
Why is it
that you are both falling into things while you are already in committed, I'm assuming monogamous, romantic situations with other people? And is that what you want to see in yourself and in a partner going forward? Something to look at.
Good point.
Something to bring up in therapy. All right. Let's go we're going to wrap up with a comment that was posted on our Patreon by CL Tizzy. Just changing this person's name every time I say it. CL Tizzy says, this episode resonated so much with me. They are referring to our last episode, which was called Choosing to Be a Single Parent, which was a deep dive into... what am I going to choosing to be a single parent? CL Tizzy says, this episode resonated so much with me. I chose to become a foster parent to my 3-year-old niece when DCFS removed her from my cousin's care. What's DCFS?
Department of Children and Family Services. It's other states' version of ACS.
Gotcha. Thank you. While I never regretted my decision, I was not prepared for how difficult it was going to be transitioning from a single childless woman out on her own to becoming a parent overnight. It has almost been a year since she has been with me, and there have been a lot of ups and downs in this process, and there will be many more as we begin towards the adoption process. One thing is for sure, our village has gotten us through this, and I don't think I would have been able to go through this without them. Thank y'all for highlighting chosen single parenthood, especially in young women of color and young people of color. And young non-binary people of color. During this process, I have only come across couples or people who are much older and or white. I've never heard this topic brought up in such an honest and real way. I appreciate y'all so much. Much love, Siltizzy, which is a name that I made up for you. But thank you for listening, and I'm glad that you appreciated the episode and us, and I wish you and your niece all the best.
Yes, I'm so glad that it resonated. Into
your family unit, yeah. And if this episode what's going on there? Is that a duck?
I turned off my airplane mode in anticipation for the end of this session, and then people just
and the texts are coming in.
So now I had to put it back.
A cool and high demand up in this bitch. Okay. Over here, my phone over here dry. No, it's just on silent. People like me too. Okay?
Of course. Same people that love me love you.
That's true. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate every single last one of you.
Yes, we do. And please follow us on social media. You can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inaho Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching Inaho Uprising Community. That is CUMMUNITY. You can head to InahoUprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, to pay a hoe, and to buy the one last t-shirt that we have. You know what size it is, Sam?
It's a small.
One small last t-shirt. Come on, y'all. Let's get it out here.
Yeah. Buy it for your cat.
Whomever.
Whoever can fit.
It's almost Christmas. Give a gift.
Exactly.
Buy it and then put it in your local Goodwill box.
There you go.
There we go.
Spread the wealth, you know? Share the love.
You guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. I made a tweet about Neopets omelets that kind of went viral the other day, and I was like, oh, that's what's going viral? Neopets omelets? Anyway, and you can follow me on at Carmen San Diego for travel photos when that's okay again, both of which will be in the show notes for this episode. And have a lovely week, because you motherfucking deserve it.
Bye!